to all over the world that Eretz Yisrael observes Shabbos 7 hours before. Everything in Eretz Yisrael 7 hours earlier than it is here in New York. And it's a few hours earlier in New York than it is in California, and so on. So the according to the quote from the Tshuva of Ravan, if you read through the literature here in the Mount of Time, it's quoted both by Rabbi Zevin in his essay in Mo'adim B'Halacha, in Lior HaHalacha, and in Pe'er Hador, which is a biography of the Chazon Ish, and a lot of Achronim. All over the world that Eretz Yisrael observes Shabbos 7 hours before. Everything in Eretz Yisrael 7 hours earlier than it is here in New York. And it's a few hours earlier in New York than it is in California, and so on. So the according to the quote from the Tshuva of Ravan, if you read through the literature here in the Mount of Time, it's quoted both by Rabbi Zevin in his essay in Mo'adim B'Halacha, in Lior HaHalacha, and Pe'er Hador, which is a biography of the Chazon Ish, and a lot of Achronim quote it. But Yisro quotes it also, the Ravaz writes in his Tshuva that the Pasuk says, Shabbos Hashem v'chol mosh v'seichem, that wherever you are, Shabbos v'chol mosh v'seichem implies that Shabbos is observed at a different time throughout the world, that in Eretz Yisrael they observe Shabbos from Shkia till Tzeisach Rehov Ma'amutzai Shabbos, and by us everything is going to be 7 hours later, and that's what the Torah says you have to do, and there's no problem. The question is, here the Mishnah Melech has a little sefer on Drush that's called Parashas Drochim. So in this sefer on page Tzadik Ches, that's in the first sheet in these Ma'amukimis, he raises a question that the Gemara says that not only is there a difference between Shabbos and the weekdays as far as Bnei Yisrael are concerned, on this world, Ba'olam Hazeh, there's a difference in the Olam HaNeshamas. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Rabbi Akiva was talking to Nisrufus HaRosha, and he said that your father, who was a Nochri, is burning in Gehenna, but he doesn't burn. The Shamas don't burn in Gehenna on Shabbos. So he says, go to your father's grave, and you see that all week long smoke comes out. He asked Nisrufus HaRosha, he asked Rabbi Akiva, why do you observe Shabbos? They were all against Shabbos. My Yomi or mine? Why is today different from the other days? So he said, am I Gehenna Ruben, and why are you different from anybody else? Just like by looking at you, you can't tell if there's anything different about you. So you look at Shabbos, you can't tell the difference. But there is a difference that Shabbos is different. And Rabbi Akiva said, and I'll even show you that there is something different. He said, go to your father's kever and you see that smoke comes up all week long. And on Shabbos, the smoke doesn't come up. So obviously, the Rishoyim are not burning in Gehenna on Shabbos. So the Rishoyim, the Neshamas who are suffering Gehenna, are not the Psalpipashtas. The Neshamas are not in this world. They're on Neshamas somewhere. They're no longer just in this world. So exactly which Shabbos is it that, which 24 hours of Shabbos do they not burn in Gehenna? Well, the Mishnah Melech here raises the question, and this is towards the end of the Sefer Parashat Drochim, with respect to other differences that appear in the Medrash, just like Ki Anachnu Namen, he has towards the bottom. Hini Anachnu Namen Amun Ashleimu V'Shem Shanachnu Abdilim Yom HaShishi V'Yom HaShvi Kach V'Shamayim Emal Yesh Avdelim HaPreshim Rabim V'Yom HaShvi L'Shar HaYomim. Aside from the fact that the Rishonim don't burn Gehenna, other differences, he wants to know which Shabbos is it. So he says, oh, that's the Pshat in the Medrash. In the middle of the page, I underline. There's a Medrash that he quotes that says, Me'olam lazaz ha'shchinim Yisrael b'Shabbos, and so the other time, Afilu b'Shabbos shalchol. What does it mean, Afilu b'Shabbos shalchol? So he says, what it means is that the real official Shabbos in heaven should really be the 24 hours of Shabbos or the 25 hours of Shabbos as observed in Yerushalayim. That should be the official time. But still, the Medrash, and let's say the Rishonim don't burn in Gehenna, in which 24 hours don't they burn in Gehenna? The 24 hours Yerushalayim time. When Yerushalayim is keeping Shabbos, those 24 hours, that's the official Shabbos as far as the Bezer Shalmai is concerned. But as far as the Lazaz HaShchinim Yisrael B'Shabbos is Yom HaTovim, that's going to be longer than 24 hours. The Jews all over the world have more than 24 hours that the Shechinah is with them on Shabbos, more so than on the weekends. Afilu B'Shabbos Shalchol. As long as anywhere in the world it's Shabbos, then the Jews in the rest of the world are having this extra Hashoras HaShchinah. That's what he says that his father's Rebbe said. His father learned in a yeshiva, Mishlam Melech. His father learned by Adoni Ovdi Zatzal, softly he learned by a great Rebbe of Zrach Yehuta. And that the father said a different pshat, and the Rebbe said that's the wrong pshat. This is the correct pshat in the Medrash. If any time in the world, if any place in the world of Shabbos, then the Shechinah is with the Bnei Yisrael. This is obvious. Everybody realized this a long time ago, that Shabbos is celebrated different times all over the world. The question, however, is the Jewish people began in Har Sinai. Wherever Avraham Avinu began, wherever Moshe Avinu began, around over there in the Middle East. So in the Middle East, we know when Shabbos is, no problem. Then as the Jews started to travel all over the world, so some Jews were traveling east and some Jews were traveling west. So when they, let's say a Jew travels to the east on Sunday, he keeps on going, and then he goes to sleep at night. So that's Sunday night. Then the next day he goes, it's Monday. He keeps on traveling. Monday it gets dark, then he goes to sleep. It's Monday night. So he keeps on going like that. He goes all the way till Vladivostok, which is at... goes all the way till the end of Asia, all the way to the east of Asia. And he just keeps on counting the days the way he started counting when he came from Eretz Yisrael, when he came from Hebron, when he just left Avraham Avinu from Hebron, and he goes and he keeps on counting. He just left Maamon HaSinai and he's going to the east. Then another Jew is going to start traveling to the west, and he's going to keep the days also the way he had the tradition. So you're going to have, let's say, these two Jews are going to meet each other on the other side of the world. So this guy is going to have one day, and he's going to have a different day, because as you keep on going west, the days keep on getting later and later. The Shki is going to be, keeps on getting later and later. So he's going to hold the race. So this Jew is going to go, it's going to be Friday, he's going to be going around the other side of the world, it's going to be Friday for him, the other Jew is going this way, it's going to be already, Shabbos. So which is the day over there? So what are you going to do in this situation? You just say, every person, if you started in the right spot with the right day of the week, and then you keep on going, so you count the days, the way you count the days. Or do you say no, that there must be some international date line? There must be some line on the globe where we say no, that all Uzman begins from here, and when you go to the end over there, then it begins the next day. This is a shayla. So in the Gemara, it doesn't say black on white. You can't really find the Feirush of Gemara that discusses this. The only one possible Gemara, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Amud Beis, where the Baal Hamor and the Kuzari interpret that the Gemara said that there is an international date line. But Rashi and Taisa don't learn the Gemara like that. So if you learn like Rashi and Tosis, and you don't look in the Baal Hamor, you don't look in the Kuzer, so the Gemara never discusses the issue. So what do you do about an issue that's not discussed in the Gemara? So there's no halacha. What do you mean there's no halacha? So that's what Rabbi Mendel Kasher wrote in his book. So there's no halacha. So you can do whatever you want. So some says so you do whatever you want. The Jews have traveled, so they machen Shabbos chazich, and they machen Shabbos. Everybody makes Shabbos the way they want. The only thing is that they said it doesn't make any sense. We're going to have two Jews living in the same city because this guy went from Eretz Yisrael, he traveled east, and every day he went to sleep at night. And then he traveled east, it came out that it was one day, and the other guy was going west, it's going to be a day earlier. So two people in the same city are going to observe Shabbos on different days. That doesn't make any sense. So they said, if there's a Jewish community and it's already established there what day of the week it is, so that's the day of the week. That's the day of the week that you should observe. But then you're going to have steerers. You're going to have people living in this one community right next to the other. This community is going to hold that it's Friday. That community is going to hold that it's Shabbos. So some hold that there's no problem. The Gemara doesn't say any dinim about this. So each community establishes whatever day of the week it is based on where they came from, what side of the world they came from. Rabbi Mendel Kasha says, you have to have some kind of a cheshbon over here, so you have to have some international date line. So he says, so we have the right to pick whatever date line we want. So if the Umas Oilam picked an international date line that cuts through the middle of the Pacific, there's a city in England that's called Greenwich, England. So they picked 180 degrees, the opposite side of the world. If you go around in a circle, it's 360 degrees. According to the convention. So if you go, a semicircle is 180 degrees. So if you take the line, the meridian that cuts through around the globe, the meridian that cuts through Greenwich, England, and you go 180 degrees, whether you go to the right or to the left, you're going to come to the same spot, 180 degrees. So 180 degrees around the world, that's where the international date line is. It's not exactly, if you look on the map that I have on here on page 4, it's not exactly so, because they wanted to have the international date line in a place which is not going to bump into any dry land. So the date line is all the way on the right of the map, and then it goes zigzag a little bit. It's approximately straight. Then they arbitrarily drew it zigzag so that it shouldn't cross through any landmass, because it's going to go across a landmass. So on one side of the street is going to be Friday, the other side of the street is going to be Shabbos. That doesn't make any sense. So that's what they made, that it shouldn't cut through any landmass. So that's what Rabbi Kasha writes in his Sefer. It's since Rashi and Tosis and the regular Rishon that we usually learn. Don't have any Gemaras that talk about it. So it's a free for all, so you do whatever you want, wherever you go. But the Haskamas Amdina says that they want to have a date line, so make a date line. So if they're going to pick the date line, so Zainas also will pick, they'll go along with them. That's what he says. This opinion was not accepted by the overwhelming majority of the Chachmei HaTorah. Most of them held that it's not so. Lomi Boy appointed the Rishonim who learned that he is. That's the Balamor and the Kuzari and a group of other Rishonim. But even according to the Rishonim who claim that the Gemara doesn't say a word about it, even the Tshuvas Eretz Tzvi, this is a reprint of the Eretz Tzvi. Eretz Tzvi is a very, I wouldn't recommend it. It's a very humorous Tshuvas Sefer. He was a Goyen Adir. He was killed by the Nazis after the Warsaw. He was one of the survivors, I think, of the Warsaw Ghetto. He was one of the group of people that they killed after everybody was bombed. He was one of the survivors who was killed there. He was a Goyen Adir. He learned by the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer had all of this charifis and kiyas and everything. Unbelievable. So the Avnei Nezer had Talmidim who used to like to say Torah the same way the Rebbe said. But they weren't the sheer genius that the Avnei Nezer was. So you see in the Sefer, it's the same. It's a little bit the same style as Avnei Nezer, but it's very, very different. Doesn't compare at all. He had other Talmidim also, who also tried to imitate his style of learning, and it was so no comparison at all. So shvach. The person, if the Rebbe is such a super genius, it's not shaykh to me, Imam Talmidim, it should be the same style. I mean, they would quote Ashitim Kubetas at the end of Alabasa to explain that Gemara's Zvach, Kutchin. So the Talmidim tried to do the same thing also. And you have to really be a super genius to know what Milsa could be Medamit or Milsa. So he has very, very strange chuvas. He was known as the Kozhaglov. He was the Rav. After he learned by the Avnei Nezer, he was a rabbi in Kozhaglov, and then after the First World War, he had to run away from Kozhaglov, and then after the war, he had no job, so they gave him a job in the Lublini Yeshiva. He was the Rosh Yeshiva in the Lublini Yeshiva. And then the Second World War came, the Ois Lublini Yeshiva, they killed everybody. And he was killed also in the middle of the Second World War. Anyway, so he has in his tshuvas, the issues that he speaks about are very important issues. Maram Kemis that he quotes are very good. But the way he analyzes them leaves a lot to be desired. So here in this tshuva, Siman Mem Daled, he discusses. There's somebody, some Talmid Chacham from Krokus, sent him a shtickel Torah. So we have to notify all the Jews that the international dateline is 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim. So he says he agrees with the Sadam Gadol that we don't accept the Haskamas Umas. That's what he repeats several times in his tshuva. And this, the Roi Chachmei HaTorah assume like that. They haven't accepted Rabbi Kasha's suggestion. We should just go along with the Haskamas Umas. That's a recurrent theme here. Pashat Haskamas Umas Lamala V'Lomaredes Lini Shabbos Yavantem Shalom B'nei Yisrael. We follow the Torah. And then he repeats again the same thing. We follow the Torah, we don't follow the Haskamas Umas. We say that like that. And that's what the Ruba of the poskim assume. You have to follow what the Torah has to say. So the question is, what does the Torah have to say? So this Adam Gadol who sent him this shtigol Torah writes, well, the Torah says like this: there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Lamed Zayin that refers to Eretz Yisrael as Tabur Ha'aretz. That's the highest point on the earth. The Gemara says we call it Aliyah. When you go to Eretz, it's called Aliyah. When you go to Chislo, it's called Yerida. That's in Chumash like that. Vayalu acha Yosef, Vayerdu acha Yosef. Whenever they go to Eretz, it's Vayalu. Whenever they go to Chislo, it's Vayerdu. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Mikan, Eretz Yisrael Gvayim Kol Aretz. And then Yerushalayim is Gvayim Kol Eretz Yisrael. So what does that mean? Eretz Yisrael has the highest elevation above the sea level. Absolutely not true. Yerushalayim has the highest elevation above sea level. Eretz Yisrael is also not true. So what does it mean? So it means that's Tabur Haaretz. It means here, when you want to say, where is the highest point of the hat? It depends. When the hat is sitting like this, so this is the highest point of the hat. The hat sits like this, so this is. Put the hat like this, wherever you put the hat. So if you take the globe, the Rebbe Hashem can play with the globe however he wants. So if he wants to hold the globe, we have a globe, we put arbitrarily the North Pole on top. You can put the South Pole on top. So you want, you can put Yerushalayim on top, so Yerushalayim is on top of the globe. So that's what they say. Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim is called Tabur Haaretz. The Rabbi Shlom calls it Tabur Haaretz. Where does he call it? It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. So the Kozhaglov says to this Adam Gadol, he doesn't see why he quoted the Gemara in Sanhedrin, not Laman Zion. It's really a pasuk in Yecheskel, Perek Laman Ches. It's on the second column. Chaim Furish B'Yecheskel, the Gemara didn't make it up. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel. The Yerushalayim is Tabur Haaretz. It's always Tabur Haaretz. So what does that lead you to believe? Yeah.
Is
there any hechar though to hold the North Pole on top? What if you hold the South Pole on top?
Okay, either way, but those are the two poles. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
They're stationary.
you wouldn't want to tell you Shalayim.
But you can just as well hold the globe like this and have the North Pole call it the West Pole and call the South Pole the East Pole and have it going like this. Who says that it has to be rolling like this?
Rotates around that axis between two poles.
They can have it rotate like this. So when the Rabban Shalom created the world, Rabban Shalom created the world from the very beginning, and he said Yehi Oretz, Yehi Rakia, everything. So when everything came into existence, Yerushalayim was on top, right in the middle. That's what it means. When the Rabban Shalom created the world in the beginning of Sheshes Mei Bereishis, that's what it was. So where does that leave us as far as the international deadline is concerned? That's the question. So this Rav Chepsi Rappaport that he's writing the letter to says, obviously, if Yerushalayim is the center of everything, so then the international daycon should be the other side of the world, 180 degrees to the right, 180 degrees to the left. And that's what Kama Rabbonim said. Everybody said like this, it should be 180 degrees to the east, 180 degrees to the west. Because Yerushalayim is supposed to be Tabor Mor. So he, the Tzeres Tzvi, the Kozhik Lover, gets all excited about this, and he said, what do you think you discovered America? On top of the second Kamarat. Malos HaChoshev Shinim Tzeizach Hadosh, Shemot Tzeizach Hadoshet. Think he discovered something new? Ein Kol Chodesh B'zeh, he didn't discover anything. Prakod Mach Rabbonon, because he looked in the Sefer HaKuzari, and the Kuzari is translated from the Arabic, so it's a difficult translation. So you have Perushim on the Kuzari, so you have the Yeretz Nechpan, and they call Yehuda, and other Mepharshim. So he says, you look in the various Mepharshim and have different opinions where the international decline is supposed to be. Some say it's at Alush, some say it's at Sinai, and some say it's Yerushalayim. Different sheets. That's what he says. And he assumes, the Kozhik Lover assumes that this assumption of Rav Chepsi Kain, Chepsi Rappaport, is correct. That whatever is the center of everything, whether Alush or at Sinai, that's when the month fell down, so the first time they were given Shabbos was in Alush. Or they were given Shabbos in Har Sinai later, after the month fell down. Maybe it should be Yerushalayim, because that's the official place. It gives you all the possible has there and why that should be the center of everything as far as Shabbos is concerned. But then he says, Hasfora no senes, that just like Greenwich, England, they felt that Greenwich was a central spot, so they said, we'll go to the other side of the globe, and that'll be the international decline. So we're going to pick some major spot, either Alush or Sinai, or Yerushalayim, and say 180 degrees to the east, 180 degrees to the west, and that's what he holds on. The Chazon Ish says that this is utterly wrong. And he wrote a whole essay about this. It's Puntras Yutchei Shoresh, which appears in the Chelek Arachaim of the Sefer Chazon Ish, which originally printed as a separate Puntras, and now appears as part of the Chelek Arachaim of the Chazon Ish, to attack Rabbi Chiel Michel Tikhachinsky. The issue didn't only come up in 1941 when the Miri Yeshiva Bachrim, when all the people were running away from the Nazis and they ran to Japan. They were in Kobe on the island of Japan. But the Shaila had come up earlier when Jews had traveled to that part of the world. So it was assumed for many years that the people traveling from the middle of Europe, Western Europe, middle of Europe, all the way to Eastern Europe, all the way to Asia, all the way to the tip of Asia, so many Rabbanim assumed that they observed Shabbos the same day that they observed Shabbos before, just a few hours early. Just keep on getting, every few hundred miles you get... You get a little earlier. So this is Rav Shmuel Molliver printed a kuntris on this. He was a big, one of the big Zionists, as you must have heard of. Another Rabbanim felt that that was the halacha. And here you take a look on page 10, in the footnote on the bottom. Rav Shmuel Molliver printed an essay about this, and Rav Chaim Brisker didn't like his essay. But Rav Chaim was asked of this shaila what to do, so he didn't want to get involved because he didn't want to make a machlokes against Rav Shmuel Molliver. Let it be known in Brisk that he didn't agree. Rav Simcha Zelig, who was a dayan in Brisk, heard from Rav Chaim that he didn't agree. And the other dayan in Brisk also, what's his name? Malin. It's Rav Leib Malin's uncle, also heard from Rav Chaim that he didn't like that. He didn't feel that you just make Shabbos whenever you want to, or Shabbos should be, or the international day should be 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim. What is it? So they said, if you look in the Balamor, on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Kof Amud Bet, Balamor says the favorite that it's 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. And he explains when you speak of Yerushalayim as being the center of the world, what does it mean? When the Ribbono Shel Olam started, when he pushed the first button and he created the world and everything started functioning, so at that time, when everything began, Yerushalayim was Tabur Ha'aretz, was on the top. So if Yerushalayim was on the top, means that you had two hemispheres, an upper hemisphere and a lower hemisphere. Yerushalayim was in the middle of the upper hemisphere. So where was the end of that hemisphere? 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. Not 180 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. It's 180 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. So Yerushalayim is not in the middle. Yerushalayim is at the edge there, the edge of the hemisphere. So they say Yerushalayim is right smack in the center, right on the top of the upper hemisphere at the time that the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world, the Sheishis Mei Breishis, for the first second of Vayera Vayiveka, Yoyim Mechod. So then Yerushalayim should be in the center. 90 degrees to the east should be the end of the first hemisphere, and that should be the beginning of all time. 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, if you look on the map on page 4, cuts through the tip of Asia. I drew additional lines here. The lines that are printed on the map are every 20 degrees. So Yerushalayim is something like 35 degrees over here. 35 degrees east of Greenwich, England. Zero is Greenwich, England. So 35 degrees east of that, right before 40, that line that I added on cuts through Yerushalayim approximately. And if you go 90 degrees to the east of that, then you have the other line that I added on. It's like 125 degrees east of Greenwich, England. And it cuts through the tip of Asia. So Rav Chaim said, if you look in the, that's Rav Chaim and the Chazon Ish said, if you look in the Baal HaMor, that's what it said. How could the other people have read the Baal HaMor wrong? So the Chazon Ish writes in his Pinchas Yud Peh Shoyes, he writes an interesting comment that people have very sharp heads when they look in a long Baal HaMor. Baal HaMor is pretty long there. When you look in a long Rishon, you get scared. So if you know, if you have a sharp head, so you start reading the first 10 lines and you think that you understand what he's going to say. Oh, you already understand what he's going to say. And then you skim through the rest of it to make sure that it says what you understood when you read the first 10 lines. And the Chazon Ish says, I don't have such a sharp head. I have a shvacha cup. So I had to break my head to read the Baal HaMor. I read that it doesn't say that. He says this man, he doesn't mention him by name, but he mentions the name of the book that he wrote. That's Rabbi Chaim Michotek Kaczynski wrote this book. So he says, this man who wrote this book has obviously a very sharp head. So he started reading the first 10 lines of Baal HaMor. So he misunderstood. He thought that he really chaptois what he's going to say. And then he just skimmed through the rest. And he said, that's not what it says. That if you read it slowly. I also, before I read anything about this, when I read that Baal HaMor, I didn't understand. I couldn't chap anything from the first 10 lines. I had to go very slowly. Go slowly. He doesn't say it's 180 degrees. He says it's 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. There's no other way to read the Baal HaMor. And he explained the Gemara like that. If you read through the whole section here from the reprints from the Or HaHalacha and from the Pe'er Hador, they quote the whole thing and they explain it very simply. The Gemara says that if the Moilad of Tishrei falls out after Chatzos Hayom on any given day, so you cannot declare that day as Rosh Hashanah. That's called Moilad Zok and Bal Tidush. If the Moilad falls out after Chatzos, it's too late in the day, then you cannot declare that day as Rosh Hashanah. Why not? So the Baal HaMor explains as follows. Because the international dateline is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. If the Moilad falls out after Chatzos, so then you're only going to have, and when is Shkia going to be? When is Shkia going to be on Rosh Hashanah time? Say 6 o'clock in the afternoon. So you're only going to have 6 hours of the day of Rosh Hashanah is going to be included after the new Moilad. So the Baal HaMor explains to the Gemara, that's not proper. You should really declare the day as Rosh Hashanah only if you're going to have a full 24 hours of the day of Rosh Chodesh, of Rosh Hashanah, after the Moilad. So he said, that's okay. If the Moilad falls out a second before Chatzos or any time earlier in the day, you will have all the way in the Philippines, you'll have all 24 hours of Rosh Hashanah will be after the Moilad because New York is 7 hours later than Yerushalayim. California is another 3 hours later. And the Philippines is another few hours later. So Lamaisa, since Yerushalayim, the international dateline, he says, is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, which is 18 hours to the west of Yerushalayim. So you have another 18 hours that direction. So when does Rosh Hashanah begin? Let's say 6 o'clock at night. So from 6 o'clock at night till 12 o'clock at night is 6 hours. From 12 o'clock at night to 12 o'clock in the afternoon is 12 hours. So 6 and 12 is 18 hours. So you've already lost 18 hours of the day. So if the Moilad is exactly 12 o'clock in the afternoon in Yerushalayim, 18 hours of Rosh Hashanah have been before the Moilu. But if it's not yet going to be Rosh Hashanah until 18 hours later, all the way in the Philippines, because that's the furthest point, if you go as far west as you can, before you bump into the international dateline. And the Balamor says, by definition, that's 18 hours to the west, so you haven't missed anything of Rosh Hashanah. All of Rosh Hashanah, someplace in the world, there's going to be one spot in the world where all 24 hours of Rosh Hashanah will be after the Moilu. But if the Moilu is a minute after Chatzos, so you've lost already, because there's no place in the world where you're going to have the full 24 hours of Rosh Hashanah after the Moilu Halvana. So the Balamor says, it's a funny shot. You can say it doesn't make any sense, but the Balamor says that's what the words of the Gemara say. Rashi and Tosfos don't learn that that's what the Gemara says. But the Balamor and the Kuzari and several Rishonim say that that's what the words of the Gemara say. So they're saying that the Gemara is telling you that the international dateline is 18 hours to the west of Yerushalayim. So these are the only Rishonim who ever spoke about this issue. So that's what the Chazon Ish taught, that's what Rab Chaim held. That's what the Rav Velvela held, because Rab Chaim held like that. That's what Rab Simcha Zelig held. That's what the Dayan, all the Dayanim of Bisk, Pashtetz, they're going to hold like Rab Chaim. So that's what they held. That it's the Balamor says like that. And then the Chazon Ish writes that there are 8 Rishonim who discussed the topic of international dateline, and they all say the same thing. Whoever doesn't say like them didn't discuss the topic. Whoever discusses it says also. They all say it's the same thing. So he says, how can anybody in our generation say against them that it should be 180 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim? Either they misread the Balamor, or they want to disagree with the Balamor. So how can they do that? We can't disagree. So the Shaila is, Lemaisa, if you hold from the, like Rav Chaim Briska held, that it's 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, that's 90 degrees on the map, so that's going to cut through the tip of Asia. That's that line, like 125 degrees east of Greenwich. So what does that mean? That on one side of the street is going to be one day, the other side of the street is going to be a different day. So the Chazon Ish writes, no. He quotes from the Sefer Yisoid Olam, which was written by a Talmud of the Rosh, that doesn't make any sense. That if you have one landmass, and on part of that landmass it's one day, so you have to assume that in the entire landmass is going to be the same day. So which day is it? Let's say that's the international dateline. At that point, cutting through here, Shanghai is to the west of the dateline, Hong Kong is to the west, and Tokyo is to the east. Tokyo is to the east of the dateline, according to the Chazon Ish. So if let's say other places. Let's say Vladivostok. Vladivostok, I circled on top there. I circled Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Vladivostok. So let's say, what day is it in Vladivostok? That's the edge of Russia. According to the Chazon Ish, that's to the east of the dateline. So let's say on the west of the dateline is going to be Shabbos. And the last place to get Shabbos is going to be Vladivostok. So it means when they're observing Shabbos in Vladivostok, it's Erev Shabbos. Shabbos afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. In that part of Russia, it's going to be 4 o'clock in the afternoon of Friday in Vladivostok. So that's what you're going to say. So the Chazon Ish quotes from the Yisoid Olam, no, it's one landmass, so you have to say that the entire landmass has the same day. So which day does it have? Does it have the later day? Does it have the earlier day? Well, let's say in Australia, the Chazon Ish's international dateline cuts through Australia. Chazon Ish, Rav Chaim, cuts through Australia. So in Australia, you have the majority of Australia is to the right of the dateline, to the east of the dateline, and the minority is to the west of the dateline. Here in Asia, you have Fakir. Asia and Europe, you have the overwhelming majority is to the west of the dateline, the minority is to the east. So what should you say over here? You should go Basarayv, that wherever the rive of the landmass is, that's Kaveh, what day it is for the whole landmass? Or do you say no? That since the history of civilization began in Eretz Yisrael, a place in Europe, and that part of the world, and that's where the Jews began, and that's in Amman and Hasinawai, so we begin with that part of the world. We begin with Asia, Africa, Europe, we begin with that part. And then when you go to the east, so you continue with the east. When you go to the east of Asia, you continue with the Zman of the rest of Asia. Yeah, so whether you determine Basarayv, if you should hold that you go, every landmass has to have the same Zman. Whether you determine Basarayv, or determine Basarayv where the Yishuv Oilam began, on the tip of Asia, it's going to be Nicha. The upper northeastern tip of Asia will be Nigrar after the rest of Asia, Europe, and Africa. But what's going to be with Australia? How should you say? So the Chazon Ish writes that since the western tip of Australia belongs to this hemisphere, which is the Ika hemisphere of Yishuv HaOlam, that's where the Torah was given, that's where the Jewish history began, that's where all of civilization began. So the western tip of Australia belongs to the normal dateline that they observe, the normal day that they observe in Eretz Yisrael. So even the eastern part of Australia, even though it's the majority of Australia, is Nigrar after the west. That's what Moshe Sternbuch points out. He doesn't disagree with the Chazon Ish, but he points out he doesn't really understand how that follows necessarily. He says, why not say it should be Nigrar after the Rov on page 15? He says, why not say that it should be Nigrar after the Rov? Afilu Nagid, like the Chazon Ish, that the northeastern tip of Asia is Nigrar after the rest of Asia. Maybe that's because it's the Rov. What do you say? Because the lower hemisphere is Nigrar after the upper hemisphere? Where did he get that from? So I should say that the eastern part of Australia belongs to the lower hemisphere, and the western part of Australia belongs to the upper hemisphere. What mechatesa? Why should you say that the lower hemisphere is Nigrar after the upper hemisphere, because the upper hemisphere is where all of civilization began? Where did he get that sort? Maybe you should go Basaroif. That's what he's Ma'ira that Shan. Then he says the etzem point that the Chazon Ish assumed that any one landmass cannot be split, but you can't say that on one side of the street the Shabbos, the other side of the street is Erev Shabbos. Chazon Ish didn't make it up, he got that from the Yisoid Olam. Now the Yisoid Olam was the Talmud of the Rosh. He was one of the eight Rishonim who said where the international dateline is. All the others said the same thing, but they didn't say about one landmass. They just said the dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. Maybe they hold that it cuts through the middle of the continent. Maybe Anachanami. On one side of the street is Shabbos, and one side of the street is Erev Shabbos. He quotes, Reb Sternbuch quotes over here, that he was told, on page 15 he has in parentheses, he heard that Avdovala thought that in certain parts of Siberia it should be a day early. But he wasn't so convinced that that's why, that everything is Nigrar after the rove of the landmass, nor is everything Nigrar after the upper hemisphere. And he heard that Rabban Kotler also perhaps thought like that. He presents it over here on page 15 on the second column. He presents it as if Rabban Kotler also agreed to this, that it's 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim, and that he thought that the northeastern tip of Asia should be a day early. They should observe Shabbos a day earlier, even though it's part of the same landmass. This is a question if that's really true, that that's where Rabban Kotler held. Because in the other source that you have over here,
he
says he divided the world into two hemispheres, the upper hemisphere and the lower hemisphere. And the upper hemisphere, the center of the upper hemisphere is Yerushalayim. So in Mela, 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim is going to be the international dateline. And then what do you do if you have a landmass that's part on the upper hemisphere, part on the lower hemisphere? So since the upper hemisphere, so it has to be one zman for the whole landmass. That's the assumption of the Yisoidot. So which is the one zman? Do you take the zman that it is on the western side, which is part of the upper hemisphere, or the zman that it is on the eastern hemisphere, which is on the eastern side of that landmass, which is the lower hemisphere? So the Chazon Ish assumes that this doesn't say already in the Seidon just says it has to be one zman for the whole landmass. Chazon Ish assumes that the upper hemisphere is the Iker, because that's where the Iker Yishuv HaOlam was. That's where all of civilization began. That's where the Torah was given. That's where Adam HaRishon was placed in Gan Eden. That's where everything was doing. Avraham Avinu was there, Moshe Rabbeinu was there. They didn't live in the lower hemisphere. They didn't live in America, they didn't live in Australia, they didn't live in South America. Everybody lived over there. All the important people lived over there. So therefore, everything is determined by the upper hemisphere. Therefore, the Chazon Ish says, as far as Australia, that since the western tip of Australia belongs to the upper hemisphere, where the Ikki Yishuv HaOlam is, nobody's living in Australia. Why is it? Thanks to Moshe Rabbeinu, there were no Jews living in Australia. Because the international dateline, according to the Chazon Ish, cuts through Australia.
Okay. So since part of Australia is to the east of the...
Part of Australia is to the west, so that belongs to the upper hemisphere, which is the Iker. So you say, Eloi Gover, the upper hemisphere wins over the lower hemisphere, so the whole landmass of Australia belongs to the Zman of the west.
So Rebbe doesn't mean northern hemisphere. Upper means the one where Yerushalayim is.
Right. Right. When the Rabbani Shalom created the world, he could hold the world however he wants. He held the world like this, on a tilt, Yerushalayim on top, Yerushalayim on top. So 6 hours to the east is the end of that hemisphere. So part of Australia is included in that upper hemisphere. So because the upper hemisphere is the Ika Yishuv HaOlam, That's a Chazanish's language that he quotes from the Rishayim. So therefore, the entire landmass of Australia has that zman.
It doesn't really need
timing. We know that Yerevish,
that the east is
Nimshach
closer to the west, so we'll
have to go around Australia. Oh, so that's what Moshe Steinbach time is. Maybe not. Maybe it should only be Nigra, the east is Nimshach after the west, there in the northern, northeastern tip of Asia, because the majority of that landmass has one zman. So the miut is nigra after the rov. So the tain is that maybe in Australia the miut should be nigra after the rov in the other direction. Because if we look in the map, the majority of Australia is on the eastern side of the Chazon Ish's international dateline.
Unless you have some landmass close to the dateline, the way the Balmor puts it, having not been roughly up with Balmor wants it, was, there is no real part of the world where this miut is no Rosh Hashanah. So the whole point of the landmass is to get a 24 hour Rosh Hashanah sun. They make more than
Yerushalayim.
Unless it's the landmass, which is close to that
dateline,
you don't
have
that Rosh Hashanah. There are lots of islands. If you think everything after the west, all of the landmass is living in the project. They're not really
going to. No, there are loads of islands there in the Pacific Ocean that are just, they're just to the right of the dateline. So they're just 1 inch to the right of the dateline. Not 1 inch on this map, 1 inch on the globe. 1 inch to the map is 1,000 miles away. But 1 inch on the globe to the right of the dateline. Why? You get a little island there that's completely to the east of the dateline. Why not?
Like Japan.
Japan? Japan is an island. That was the issue. Japan is an island that's off of the.
That was
off of Asia. That was why there was the Machlokes.
Right.
So if you, the Chazon Ish held that all of Asia has the same. The northeastern tip of Asia still. The eastern tip of Asia still has the same zman as the rest of Asia, even though it's to the east of his dateline, but that's only because Manisa is still on the same continent, on the same landmass. When you get to Japan, it's a different Yabeshet. It's a different landmass. So he says, Yoy said it's to the right of his international dateline, so they should observe all the days a day later, Sundays a day later. That's the last place in the world that they ever get any day of the week. The first place in the world to get a day of the week is to the west of the dateline. And that's going to be the, Japan is going to be the last place in the world.
Start the next day before Japan finishes the previous day.
Vladivostok, which is further to the east,
that's is where they start the next day before right. Japan starts before Japan finishes the last.
That is correct. That's what the Chazon Ish says.
It's more than a 24-hour day.
Right. Okay. It's a good time. I don't know. We have another few hours. I don't know. So that's the Shilas. So what are the Shitas Halacha Lamaisa? Rabbi Mendel Kasha's opinion that you do whatever you want, that there's no halacha, was never really accepted. In fact, they were furious at him. They wanted to put in the chair about this, about his book on the international dateline. It's ancient history. Anyway, his opinion wasn't generally accepted, that you can do whatever you want, and therefore we have the right to reach the halacha doesn't have anything to say about the dateline, so therefore we want to, we can choose to follow the goyish, the haskamas, umasot. That hasn't been accepted. We assume, like the kosher globe, we don't assume most of the things the kosher globe assumes, but this we do assume, that the halacha does have something to say about the international dateline. The only shaila is, where is it? So that, those are the various sheep. So that's the Alush with the Sinai, the funny sheep. So that hasn't been too popular. That's not the sheep of the Kuzri. Those are the Mefarshim on the bottom of the Kuzri. The Mefarshim were not the greatest Talmidei Chachamim in the world. They were philosophers. But the two things that we consider seriously are, is it 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim? Because we say Yerushalayim has to be the middle. So Yerushalayim is the center of the world, like they thought that Greenwich is the center of the world. So they thought that that's very important. So the other side of the world is going to be the Dateline. So we say Yerushalayim is the center of everything. So the Dateline is going to be 180 degrees, the other side, which is going to cut through Alaska. According to Kuczynski and the whole list of Rabbanim, no, San Francisco is not a problem. That's going to cut through Alaska over here. That's 100 and something like 135 degrees on this map. That's, 145 degrees west of Greenwich. So if you look at 140, I drew another line there, 5 degrees after that, 145 degrees, it cuts through Alaska. Approximately over there. that's going to be the international dateline of the Kaczynski. And Mashenikin, according to the Chazanish, who says, what are they making up their own Zman? They can't make up their own international datelines. The only Rishonim who discussed it were these eight Rishonim, and they all said the same thing, that it's 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. It's not 12 hours to the east. So he holds that it cuts through the tip of Asia. And then the Shaila is, whether you hold like the Kuczynski in his group, or you hold like the Chazanish, Rab Chaim, in his group, I think Rab Chaim's group is a much more impressive group than the others. In fact, if you look through the history of the Hishtal Shilus Advarim, it's very interesting, to say the least. This Rav Tkachinsky was a big Talmud Chacham. They have his picture in the books, a Heligit Tzaddik with long payas and everything. He looks like a real Tzaddik. He was a big Talmud Chacham. He wrote a lot. He passed in line of Shailah. So when they asked him the Shailah, the Yeshiva Bacham, who were then in Japan in 1941, sent telegrams to the Gdolei Minaret, so what should they do? So who did they send the telegrams to? So the Litvish sent to the Chazanish, what should they do? And the Chassidish sent to the Gerer Rebbe. So the Gerer Rebbe asked his people what the din is. So he asked the Kuczynski, and he asked another Rav Shapiro. So they said 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim, 12 hours east of Yerushalayim. And the Litvish who sent it to the Chazanish got angry. He said, what are you talking about? What are you guys making trouble over there? It's 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim. So then later on, when Tkachinsky found out who the Chazanish, he never heard of him. Tkachinsky lived in Yerushalayim, and the Chazanish lived in Bnei Brak. He never heard him, never saw him, he never knew who he was. And then when he heard who he was, so he wrote, they quoted in one of the documents here that I xeroxed. He said if he would have known that there's such a holy tzaddik who sits and learns all day and all night, and his mamash teiros and nasa, he wouldn't have expressed his opinion at all. He would have sent the shayla to him, let him pass from the shayla. And most of the Rabbanim who met, the meeting was in Rabbi Herzog's home. Rabbi Herzog convened a meeting of Rabbanim, it was 23 Rabbanim or something like that. Most of the Rabbanim who were convened there hadn't worked through the Indian. They weren't holding in the middle of the Balamor and Rosh Hashanah Daf Tov Hamid Beis. They were learning Shabbos, Sanhedrin, Erev, and whatever. They weren't learning Rosh Hashanah Daf Tov Hamid Beis, especially with the Balamor. So then when the issue was discussed, they said, okay, they all voted. They said, okay, we'll go along with the 180 degrees. They said like that. But they weren't holding by the Inyonim. And the one who was really holding by the Inyon was the Chazanish. He worked out the whole thing. So it's really a pella how it can be that the Ara Yom Hazet goes on. It's a big machlekes. The Chazanish was very aggravated about this. And in the Pe'er Ador, there's a lot of politics in the Pe'er Ador. The Pe'er Ador is a five-volume biography of the Chazon Ish. So a lot of it is pure politics and anti-Medina. Even if you only take 5% of the venom that they have against the Zionists there, it's also what to shudder from, Skifelach. But there are a lot of very interesting things in the Pe'er Ador. So this, in this section on the Yud Cheshuas, he quotes a lot, he documents a lot. The rest, he also documents a lot, but he gives a lot of his own, the editors give a lot of their own commentary. And here he just documents a lot. So he quotes how aggravated the Chazanish was. This is the only time in his whole lifetime that he made a big fight against the contemporary of this. Tkachinsky was alive and he passed in the Shaila, and he started to fight with all of his kaychas, and he printed a whole chintris against them, and he went to the Brisker of Tumlin, and he tumbled with Rabbi Sazam and Meltzer, and he was tumbling and tumbling. And at one moment, in the middle of this whole thing, he commented to Kalman Kahana, who printed this later, that Kalman Kahana used to visit him pretty often. He commented that the Rav Chaim Moizer passed away, and that was the end of the authority. When Tolzman Rav Chaim Moizer was alive, they knew that there was a central authority. Everybody was kafuf to him. And after he passed away, now everybody does whatever they want, and as if to say, every Amoritz expresses his opinion on a halachic issue. So he felt very hurt why they didn't listen to him. He felt that he was the only one who knew what he was talking about. And I think that if you read through the sources, he's really right. On the 90 degrees versus 180 degrees. On the other issues, that's the question. Do you say that you should follow the opinion of the Yisrael Olam, that whatever is one landmass has to behechreach have the same as man? That's one issue. Maybe you don't have to follow. That's what Rabbi Elvela thought, maybe not so. He says, Rabbi Aaron Kotler heard that held maybe not so. That's one question. And the Afidim Tim Tzuleima, that you should assume like the Yisrael Olam, that it should be, every landman should have the same zman. Do you necessarily say that everything to the east is nigra basa the west? Or not? Maybe go basa right, like Sternberg suggests. Maybe in Australia it should be just the reverse. So those questions are still open. But the 90 degrees versus the 180 degrees, I find that very difficult to consider the other sheet.
The Pe'er Ador, though, he says, page 11 in the notes, he says, Dvar Shela Odo Shabbos for San Francisco the Yavan. So what was the question in San Francisco?
I don't know. Very funny.
Was there something that wasn't this Shaila with Alaska? Or was it more?
So,
I don't believe that that's correct. I don't believe that that's accurate.
Alright, I'll take a look at it again.
No, it could be that that's what it says in the book, but I don't think that that part of the story is accurate.
Uh-huh.
I doubt that he attended the meeting.
Uh-huh.
And I doubt that he would have agreed with the others. Mm-hmm. Is that book?
Okay.
Velvela told... No, if you read the documents here, Velvela told the son of Beryl, Velvela had a certificate to go to Eretz Yisrael, so he was going to go that way. He was going to go without traveling via Siberia. Via Japan. And his son, Rabero, didn't have a certificate. So he thought Rabero Soloveitchik, who already passed away around 5 years ago or so, he thought he was going to go with the Miri Yeshiva. So he told him to send a letter to Rav Simcha Zelig, who was a dying in Bris, and ask him halacha lemaisa what to do. So they have here the copy of the letter that he sent. He has a very interesting psak. Here, the letter's on page, 11? On page...
knew on their own that it's 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. The Shailas, but the Minik there was already Eingefir. The Jews who lived in Japan, there were Jews who lived in that part of the world. They were doing business. They lived there big fears. So the Minik was already instituted. Yishon Katmanias, that they keep Shabbos the same day as those who live to the west. So he quotes a principle from the Gemara, from the Shulchan Aruch, that Minik is Oikra Halacha and Dinim Derabbanim and not in Dinim Deraisa. If you look in Hilchos Purim, the Rambam talks about clapping Haman. So that's a minhag to make noise when they clap Haman. So the Magen Avraham on that sif quotes all the Makaris and the Masech Hasar from different sources in Yerushalmi and Bavim say that minhag is Arka Halacha if it's only a Dinder Rabbanan, it's a Dinder Reis and not. So Rav Simcha Zelig, who was the Dayan of Brisk, wrote like that in his letter. He said, with respect to the Dinim of Davening, what tefillahs he say, he says, since their minig is that they don't follow the Balamor, they daven Shabbos dik on the wrong day, so they should continue davening Shabbos. The yeshiva guys should daven Shabbos on the wrong day. But as far as observing the malachas is concerned, so that's Ramam Shadin Deraisa, so they can't say minig reikar halacha. So they have to follow what the din. Knew on their own that it's 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. The Shailas, but the Minik there was already Eingefir. The Jews who lived in Japan, there were Jews who lived in that part of the world. They were doing business. They lived there big fears. So the Minik was already instituted. Yishon Katmanias, that they keep Shabbos the same day as those who live to the west. So he quotes a principle from the Gemara, from the Shulchan Aruch, that Minik is Oikra Halacha and Dinim Derabbanim and not in Dinim Deraisa. If you look in Hilchos Purim, the Rambam talks about clapping Haman. So that's a minhag to make noise when they clap Haman. So the Magen Avraham on that sif quotes all the Makaris and the Masech Hasar from different sources in Yerushalmi, but we say the minhag is Arka Halacha if it's only a Dinder Rabbanan, it's a Dinder Reis and not. So Rav Simcha Zelig, who was the Dayan of Brisk, wrote like that in his letter. He says, with respect to the dinim of davening, what tefillas he say? He says, since their minig is that they don't follow the balamor, they daven Shabbos dik on the wrong day, so they should continue davening Shabbos. The yeshiva guy should daven Shabbos on the wrong day. But as far as observing the malachas is concerned, so that's Ramam should din the raisa, so they can't say minig oikar halacha. So there they have to follow what the din really is. The Chazanish didn't hold like that. What do you mean minig oikar halacha? It's wrong. What kind of minig oikar halacha? So when the Chazanish expressed his opinion, so he told them not so. He told them that they have to keep Shabbos on a different day. They have to keep Shabbos on the day that they considered in Japan, the day that they considered it Sunday. So he told them they have to keep Shabbos on that day. So when the telegram arrived, when the telegrams arrived to Japan, so there was confusion there. The Gerer Rebbe sent back his psak to the Chassidish Bachrim, that they should follow the day that the Yomus Olam are following there. And the Litvisha got the psak from the Chazanish that everything is off kilter, everything is wrong. Chatzka Levenstein was there, who was in Eretz Yisrael in Petach Tikva for a few years, and then went back to the Mir Yeshiva in Europe, and he had met the Chazanish in Eretz Yisrael. Chazanish lived in Bnei Brak when he lived in Petach Tikva, so he met him and he knew who he was. So the two telegrams were in, they didn't know what to do. Rav Chatzko told him, what are you, crazy? You don't know what to do. How do you compare the giant to the... How do you compare these two different people? The Chazanish is the Poisek HaTor. So he made him daven Shabbos dik, not like Rav Simcha Zelig said, Binig Oikar Halacha, they should follow with all respect to all Dinim the Rabban, they should follow the Minig HaMokim, and only they should follow the Chazanish with respect to the Dinim the Raisa. He said, that's the Din. So they switched the davening and the Bochum, and the Yeshiva felt very uncomfortable about it. But he said, that's the Din, it is straight like the Chazanish, 100%.
Did they switch by after Shabbos, that Sunday they did Shabbos again, or did they miss it? Did they make a difference between Shabbos and Shabbos?
It was in the middle of the week. This was in the middle of the week. There were a few telegrams. One telegram came right before Yom Kippur. That was the famous telegram. That, by the time that telegram came, by the time it came Yom Kippur, there was hardly anybody there. I think there were less than 100 people, less than 100 yeshiva bachim. But because the Japanese sent them all to the West to get rid of them for political reasons. But they already switched before that. Rav Chatzko told them to switch before Rosh Hashanah. The earlier telegrams with the letters came before.
Rav Chatzko, let's take him on Tuesday. So then we'll go Shlishi, Rabi, Chamishi, Shishi, and then that day would have been Shabbos, but then Chazmi said the Sunday should be Shabbos.
Yeah.
So that day they didn't keep Shabbos that day?
Well,
7 days to keep Shabbos,
did
they keep Shabbos?
No. It was a blind Muslim affair. They kept the wrong day.
Wrong day, so then you do make
up. Tashlumen. Chatas, you have chatas for sure. What can you do? You can make a mistake. I never heard.
Anyway, Rush. Sean publishes in Paris. Once a year he comes to my house. Useless. He tells me that he used to be in the past year. He says that Norman Tversky, for years back, had tourists in Hawaii, basically. So he felt this was in conflict with the whole Shiloh of the International Day Club. He should do it to Shiloh. Pesach and Shabbos. So it's all kinds of other things. He went to Dr. Isidore Tversky. And he told him, I was stopped for the custom. So short told me. First he must be wrong. So Shalitzi told me that I was stopped. He's the first one called his cousin Norman Tversky. He stopped the tourist. I was looking for his book. Apparently, at least the Kweshish Lechumra,
yeah.
Was concerned.
Yeah, yeah. One quarter of the globe is mutl besafek what day of the week it is. 25% of the world doesn't know what day. In between the 90 degrees and 180 degrees east of Yerushalayim, so the Chazanish and Tikhuchinsky had a big machlokes what day of the week it is.
Wherever we are, from the dateline. Maybe that was an individual person across the dateline on Shabbos. Does he change the Shabbos, or does he keep whatever he has
in his hand? The Kasha Glover talks about that. That part of his essay is interesting. Mm-hmm. On page 3. You have to read his tshuvas very carefully. A lot of things he has are very, very wild. On page 3 on the second column, he has the part that's underlined. The Yesh Lai Marod.
What?
On the second column on page 3. The Yesh Lama Oz. The Hayotze Mimachim Shesham Shabbos Kodesh. The Mimachim Shehucho. The Komachim Tzorof Lishbos. And he gives a comment that I remember the Rav said when we learned the Shabbos. This is a big Yisoy. The Iker Shabbos Kodesh Chal B'Tchilosoy. Kemo Dechazina Lin Yemukze. Migidus Katsoy. וכן לעניין ערב בית חומן, חילוס היום is kind of ערב, וכן לעניין ערב בית חצרס. הכל תולה בתחילוס היום. So you saw it is, that's what he says. Call the tikka rabbanu ki ain the rice and tikka in the sumi. That these dinam are mukta and ערב בית חצרס and ערב בית חומן, the fact that the koine בתחילוס היום is an indication that that's the din the rice. The hainu, what's the din the rice? That the tchilos היום of Shabbos, the ben ashmosh is that tchilos Shabbos is the oiser. So once it's an oiser, so I should say that kdusha lai pocket bichdi. Kedusha Shabbos should be made. That's where he goes. That's already a funny tushta, but the principle. Kedusha l'apaka b'chdin. It's not varping marmakamis for that. So the vart is that you need the sofa yom to be a matir. So if the fellow never had a sofa yom, so he remains with Shabbos. The only question, he remains with Shabbos for how long? The oilam vart. He doesn't have a sofa. He doesn't finish off the sentence. The beginning of the sentence is good. He just doesn't finish it off. The beginning of the sentence... Well, he'll be there. I mean, he has to wait for a whole week till Shabbos ends.
Why can't he just wait till Tzeis?
Will that be the Tzeis of Shabbos? The guy goes from a place where Shabbos to a place where it's cold. How can that be? It means he goes, he's traveling east. So he goes east, so it's a day earlier. So he'll have to wait till tomorrow. He'll have to wait till tomorrow night's Tzeis are coming. He'll have to observe Shabbos for 2 days.
But it won't be really 2 days, it'll be a day and 2 minutes. Because Saints really wasn't that much different. He didn't travel that far.
It's a day earlier, no? The guy goes from the west of the dateline to the east of the dateline. So it's a whole day earlier. So he says since there was a Tchilas HaShabbos that Asid
him,
so he has to still observe Shabbos. He has to wait till Sof HaYom. Sof HaYom is going to be a whole day later.
He goes in on Shabbos, he's so cold.
It goes from cold to Shabbos. What if a person goes from cold to Shabbos? So that's what the Lodger Dayan talks about. On the last two pages. Here, page 21 and 22 of the... See, the first Shaila here. There's a little sefer called Piskei Tshuva. It's also very humorous. It's a collection of, believe it or not, of tshuvas. It's a likut. That's what he writes in the introduction. He made a likut of tshuvas that you wouldn't believe that they're really in print. He collected all the funniest things from all the tshuvas. The purpose of the sefer. I usually look at that sefer on Purim. It's very entertaining. Every piece is very, very short. So here on Reish Nun Beis, it's a little tiny sefer. It's divided into three sections. So this is page 9 is the beginning of the third section. That's why Simei Reish Nun Beis on page 9. It's the beginning of the third section in the Simonim. Keep on going from the beginning of the first section. So this is a letter from the Gerer Rebbe, I think, no? Avraham Moshe Alter. Is that the Gerer Rebbe? I think so. Mistapakti, beginning of Mistapakti, beginning of the Gerer Kamek Prad Moshe. Mishem Abdullah Yom Kippur. It's a guy says, Abdullah, I'm Mitzvah Shabbos in New York, and he takes a fast plane that's traveling west, and he flies into an area where it is Shabbos now. Does he have to observe Shabbos? He says, Venera. Second paragraph, Dr. Venera, Kimisha Krakia, Matsoy Shabbos. May Erev Ad Erev, Mashikos, Kimisha Krakia, Mashikos, May Erev Ad Erev, Tishbusu Shabbatem. And came in Atar, Enemachuyev Yoys. He says that since you said Havdola where you were, even though you fly into an area where it's still is Shabbos now, you don't have to keep Shabbos. What does that mean? But it's Shabbos where I am now. He apparently also holds the same as the Kozhak Lover says, that the din derises, that the Tchilas Hayom is the Oyser. So if I wasn't there at the Tchilas Hayom, so it didn't answer on me. I was in New York, Tchilas Hayom. So that Tchilas Hayom answered me, and the Sof HaYom was mat to me. So I said, I've gone. Sof HaYom was mat. Then I fly into another place, so the Tchilas Hayom there didn't relate to me. So he says, Mikar Adin, Medina derises, he says, you don't have to keep Shabbat. It's done, Mechumi, I'm off the Shabbat, I'm off the Shabbat. Tamchumi, you have to keep Shabbat. Mika read and he holds that one.
Either way, it's because of your where you were previous year, it's like
you always follow
what you do.
If Here, the Eretz Tzvi said, if I had the Tchilas Hayom as an Oser on me, so I have to have a Sof Hayom to be a Matir for me. So I'm not going to have... Tchilas Hayom has to be the Oser. That's what they seem to be, I think, they're both driving at the same thing.
What about in a place like North Scandinavia where it's sunny like a month? There's no saints, there's none of that.
Right, that's on page 21. I was going to talk about that too. We'll talk about it now. Page 21, the next image, Reishon Gimel, is a quotation from the Teferis Yisrael. At the end of each quotation, it tells you who this believes it or not, this kind of thing. So this is quote, that's the verse at the end of the first Perek and Brochet. This is a famous quote that everybody quotes. The verse says, Yisupid, what do you do if you're so close to the North Pole that the sun is shining all the time? So there's really no normal solution to this question. And they quote the name of Chaim Balazhiner that a religious Jew, an Orthodox Jew, shouldn't travel that close, shouldn't travel higher than a certain... latitude, you shouldn't get into that area of the world where you're not going to know what day of the week it is.
That two people could be in the same place, but they start from different places and they hit the North Pole, so theoretically they would have a different day.
The Mishnah Brewer says that?
Yes.
The din of Hamal of Namidvar. That's a Gemara and Shabbos. A person is lost in the desert. He doesn't know what day of the week it is. So the Gemara says he counts 7 days and he says Kiddush and Avdallah on the seventh day. So that's the question. That's a real drashi Gemara. They write the Gemara and Daf and Rafasi, but it's only Asmach from the Rabban. That's because the guy's in a place where every day is a separate day. He just doesn't know what day of the week it is. He lost track. But the guy's in a place where there's no Zricha, there's no Shkia, just that he sees the sun going around in a circle in a rotation. But the Pashto says that Al Pidin, there's no way to be Kaveh. What day of the week it is? All the days. Am Yerov and Yahav? That's the Pashto.
Isn't every day Kaveh Al Pidin's from other shows?
No. The days are Nikva by Zvicha and Shki and Seisa Kehov and Bein Hashmashes. It's not Nikva by 24 rounds. So the Pashto says that everything is all one long day. So all the days Am Yerov and Yahav, so you don't know what day it is. So Jews shouldn't, religious Jews shouldn't be in that part of the world. That's what he suggests, that the Pharisee so suggests here in the Mishnah. But it's very difficult. But that's not a... The days Al Pidin begin with Zricha and Shki and so on. With Shki, with Seisa Kachal. Why should it depend on a rotation of the sun? The Pharisee so suggests like that. It's very shver. I'll just say, wherever you came from, wherever you came from, just keep your clock. Whatever your clock says, whatever you came from, whatever time is Zricha and Shki is over there, that's the time it is in the Hecha Pesach. What would I mean? That's a place where I know what day it is, and here there's no Zman. That never goes where you came from. It's very difficult. They quote from Abchaim Balazhiner like that. That Trum Eden shouldn't go too high towards the North Pole. How early on Friday can you be in Kabbalah Shabbos?
Because people who live in higher up north were able to be in Kabbalah Shabbos and Bamechemar. And then still have daylight time, black light, in order to go for a teal or by the riverside. And he says it was okay, because at that point you're, you had no other option.
That's another question. How worldly can a person be Mekabel Shabbos? So in the Shulchan Aruch it says that not earlier than Plag HaMincha. However you figure out what, that's how the Ramah passes. It's not before, the Chabbos is not before Shkia. The Chabbos holds that Bein HaShmoshes begins around 55 minutes after Shkia. So you can be Mekabel Tosefes Shabbos anytime you want after Shkia until Bein HaShmoshes. And we usually assume that, like the Vilna Gaon, that with Shkia begins Bein HaShmoshes, that Tosefes Shabbos has to be before the Shkia. So what time before the Shkia? So the Ramah says after Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha, according, if you... Plag HaMincha only makes sense if you calculate like the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon says that you calculate Plag HaMincha as an hour and a quarter, counting, dividing the day from sunrise to sunset. If you're going to count the day from Alois HaShachar till Tzeis HaKachavim, many times Plag HaMincha will be after the Shkia. So if the Vilna Gaon holds that the Shkia is already the beginning of Ben Hashmashas, is with Shkia, the Plag HaMincha is after Shkia, and you can't be Mekabel Tosef Shabbos till after the Shkia. The whole thing doesn't make sense. So the Vilna Gaon is forced into assuming that the Plag HaMincha is calculated by dividing the day from sunrise to sunset, and you move back an hour and a quarter before that. Sure. But there are others who say not so. They say you can be Mekabel Shabbos on page 17, on the bottom of the page, in these Ma'amakimis. They quote in the name of the Arizal that you can be Mekabel Shabbos from Chatzosan, and from an hour before Chatzos, and some say from 2 hours before Chatzos. When does Dusha Shabbos begin to be felt? On Friday. Erev Shabbos b'shoah hei misnotzitz kvar Dusha Shabbos. On page 16, if you look on page 16, on the top line, on the page, that's in the Mishnah Berurah. So the Ramah on the top line says, the meaning is that everybody goes to Mikvah on Erev Rosh Hashanah. On the bottom of the page, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkot Mechavav, when do you go to mikveh? So he says, you should really go to mikveh after Chatzos. Go to mikveh before Chatzos, how is that a hachana for Rosh Hashanah? Well, he says, the earliest, he quotes the Chayyam, the earliest you can go to mikveh is an hour before Chatzos. That's how the Chayyam understood these quotations in the name of the Arizal, Mishor Hei. But others understood, like on page 17 on the bottom of the page, others understood the Arizal was saying that you can go to Mikvah there, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, 2 hours before Chatzos. Mishoheh, Shovav is an hour before Chatzos. Shoheh is 2 hours before Chatzos. So the Chayyadim understood Shoheh means the end of Shoheh. And they understood Shoheh is the beginning of Shoheh. So what kind of Isman is this? An hour before Chatzos. If they would say Chatzos, so Chatzos makes sense. The latter half of the day. How do you come off to say an hour before Chatzos? How do you say 2 hours before Chatzos? What in the world is that based on? Kabbalah. Kabbalah hin Kabbalah. What is it based on? So on the bottom of page 17, he quotes on Ilui Sha'infal. He says that a Rav told him, Dvar Pelo Shamati from a Mekubal Echon, he tells you his name, I don't know who it is. And he says that the Arizal lived in Eretz Yisrael, lived in Tzfas. So when he said, you can be Mekabel Shabbos, he said you can go to Mikvah and you can be Mekabel Shabbos that time. Not like the Ramah says, you can only be Mekabel Shabbos after the Plag HaMincha. He said you can be Mekabel Shabbos from 10 o'clock in the morning on. You can't be Mekabel Shabbos Friday morning before 10 o'clock in Tzfas, but after 10 o'clock you can come Shabbos. What's that? It's 10 o'clock in the morning. So he said, because the Arizal held like the Chazanish, like Rav Chaim, like Rav Velvel, like all these, like the Balamor, like the Guzri, the international dateline is 6 hours to the east of Yerushalayim. And he held that whatever is one landmass has to have one's not. So the rest of Siberia, Vladivostok, and the rest of the east of Russia, the east of Asia, is also Nigrar after the same Zman. So when the earliest place in the world the Shabbos begins is 8 hours before. It really should have been theoretically 6 hours before, but because Asia extends another 2 hours to the east, so it's 8 hours before. So that's what the Arizal meant.
They're the same Zman means they keep the same day.
So when I'm in Tzfas at 10 o'clock in the morning, there's already Shabbos, is already in the air. Somewhere. Where? In Vladivostok?
But then I keep them Shabbos.
They are keeping Shabbos.
They don't keep Shabbos based on what the guy
a
few miles west.
They do. That's what the Chazanish holds.
They make it 2 in the afternoon?
No.
It's based on
it's like home on Friday night.
Hey,
in Tzfas, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. But over there in Vladivostok, it's already 6:30
in the morning. No, but you're in the west, you're in the eastern part of Australia, as opposed to the western part of Australia. You're keeping the same Zman, because according to the Zanish. But your Shkia is not the same.
Correct.
So what you keep your Zman in terms of your Shkia, right?
Right.
So it's not really Shabbos for anybody.
Oh, good. But it's Shabbos. Arizal says at 10 o'clock in the morning it's fast. I already know that now, this minute, there are Jews who are keeping Shabbos. So just like the Mishnah Melech wrote in the name of his father's Rebbe, Rabbi Zrach Yehuda, that he has this medrash that as long as the Shabbos for somebody, even though for me it's not Shabbos, as long as anyone in the world is Shabbos, it is already Hashras Hashchina on Klal Yisrael. So that's what he says. That's what this Mekubal understood. The Arizal was saying like that. But he held like the Chazanish, all the way. Like the Chazanish, that it's 90 degrees to the east of Yerushalayim, plus the landmass. So therefore, it's another 2 hours to the east.
So north, though, it might not work anyway.
No, the question is, if that's the Cheshbon, then Australia is more. Australia is more than 2 hours before, no? It's a few hours before. So it should come out. You can
be in California.
And then Rav Shtemba points out on the second column on the bottom of the page, it comes out like that. So in New York, that it's 7 hours earlier. So if they can even Kabbal Shabbos at if they can even Kabbal Shabbos 10 o'clock, this is wild. I say we don't hold like that, drum. We don't hold like that, Arizal. You can even Kabbal Shabbos 10 o'clock in the morning. But we say you can go to mikveh that time. That's how he understood you can go to mikveh. So then we shouldn't be bound by what the Mishnah Berurah says. You can go to Nechayod. You can go to mikveh starting from 11 o'clock in the morning on Erev Hashanah. No, you got to be able to go to mikveh 7 hours earlier. And if you live in California, another 3 hours earlier. As long as anywhere in the world, they're already keeping Rosh Hashanah, so it's already Lucius Hayem is misnight to something. That's what he points out. That's what he points out. He says if this Mekubal's interpretation of what the Arizal meant is correct, that the Arizal meant like the Chazanish, that comes out that those who live in America can go up in Mark. They can go to Mikvah in the middle of the night the day before. Maybe that's what he meant. Maybe that is what he meant. Shailas, when we say, Halacha L'maaseh, this is a very common Shaila. A lot of people go on business. A lot of religious people go on business to Japan. They go to Philippines. They go to Hawaii, wherever. They go to Australia, right? So it's like a serious Shaila. So even if one assumes like the Chazonish, who paskin like the Yisrael Olam, that whatever is one landmass has to have the same Zman, that's only when you're landed on the ground already. But what if the guy's still flying in the air? So you can't say that we have a klal that how do you determine zricha or shkia if you're flying in the air? So because you're higher up, the zricha will look. You will experience the zricha earlier, and you will experience the shkia later. So does it depend? Let's say a guy wants to daven mincha. Wants to daven Shabbos, so does it depend on where he is? It's not going to make such a big difference because he's not all the way in Mars. He's just a little bit above the ground. 2 minutes, 5 minutes. It's not going to make that much of a difference. So the question is, do you determine Zricha and Shkia by where you happen to be, or do you determine Zricha and Shkia by sea level? So that's where Rav Moshe writes. He quotes the Maharil, the Magen Avraham, on page 18. Rav Moshe, this is a shaila for Washington Heights. Forget about flying in the air. Washington Heights, the sun rises over there on the east side and the sun sets on the west side. On the west side, I think there's the Palisades or something, and it's much higher than the ground level over here. So if you look, the sun sets, I think, 20 minutes earlier than what it says in the newspaper. So on Shabbos, you can't shkia, the beginning of Bein HaShemesh, so you can't do malacha 20 minutes before sunset? So the answer is no. Why is the answer no? Because the Magen Avraham says no. The Magen Avraham quotes in the Maharil, it's in the Reish Lamed Gimel, that's a siman about davening mincha. He's supposed to daven mincha before shkia. Everybody knows that. So the Maharil lived in Germany, so he says they all daven mincha after shkia in Germany. Kayadua. Still, Arayam Hazeh, the Yek is all daven mincha after shkia. So what is it based on? So Maharil says, it's not true. We're not davening mincha after shkia. He says that Germany is in a valley. And it's not after Shkia. It looks like it's already Shkia, but it's not, because he quotes the Gemara Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yutes, where it's Muchaf from the Gemara, that Shkia is determined by sea level. If you happen to be in a valley, so it looks like the Zricha is later and the Shkia is earlier. That's your perception, but that's Al Pi Halacha not correct. The Zricha and the Shkia is determined according to what it would have been if everything would have been sea level. So everything would have been flat. Loimi boy, that you treat it as if it's flat, that there are no buildings obstructing the horizon, but even the ground and the mountains also obstruct the horizon. So you have to level everything down, visualize if everything would be level. So that's where Moshe has a tshuva. This is a common shaila. What do you do over here? So there are some people who live in Washington Heights who are machmer for this, that on every... because Rav Moshe writes in this tshuva, he quotes that Magen Avraham quotes the Maharil. That's what the din is. The Ikar Din, it depends on whatever it is, what it would have been at sea level. But the Gemara says there in Shabbos Daf Kuf Yutes, it's a whole list of midas chatsidis. Every time and every Gemara says, he chelki me this, he chelki me that. Halavai, I should be able always to say Pesukah de Zimra every day. Halavai, I should be meisim mechoyle meyayim. And he says, everyone says another midas chatsidis. So one of the Tanoim says midas chatsidis that when he's in an area where the mountains obstruct the horizon and it appears as if the Zricha is earlier, as if the Shkia is earlier, so he's Mekabel, so the people in that community are Mekabel Shabbos earlier. So he says, Yichelki Machnisi HaShabbos, what does it say there? Machnisi HaShabbos B'Tveria. Machnisa Shabbos b'Tveria. Because Tveria was surrounded with mountains. So you see from the Gemara that it's a Midas Chasidus. We recommend to people as a Chumra that they should do it. So that's how Rav Moshe concludes at the end. It is Mikar Adin. It's not going to say the Shkia till Shkia is printed in the newspaper, I'll PC level. But as a Midas Chasidus, you should consider it as if it's Shkia ready earlier. So the Maharil apparently holds that that Chumra, that Midas Chasidus, is only for Shabbos, and it doesn't apply to davening Mincha. He says that in Germany, the fact that they davened after Shkia meant they davened after what appeared to be Shkia, but it really wasn't Shkia. It's very schwer, because how much is the difference in the seed level going to make? It's going to make a half a minute difference. That can make a difference of 20 minutes. It's not all the way in the Shol Tachtis. It's not halfway down to China. How deep is it? Germany is in a valley, like over here. Bennett Avenue is in a valley. How much of a valley? They call Wayu is up the hill and they're down the hill. So how big is the whole hill? A second, less than a second. The difference is going to be less than a second. So how can you say that Germany was in a valley? So therefore, that the Maharil writes, the therefore is very schwer. He says, therefore, they daven after Shkia because it was really before Shkia. The conclusion is very schwer. But in principle, we understand what he says. He holds that this Chumra only applies to Shabbos and doesn't apply to Mincha. Here, Grada, for Shabbos, everybody's Mekel. Most of the people are Mekel. Very few people are Machmer. To be Mekel Shabbos earlier, according to the Zricha, as it appears, because of the fact that there's an elevation on the western side. So it appears as if the Shkia is early. The Shabbos Bodhi, if a person is traveling in the airplane. So as far as he's concerned, his Richa is earlier, and the Shkia is later. So they say he has more time to daven Mincha, because the Shkia is later. You could say, let's say, Mechatchila, you're not supposed to daven in the Mishnah Berurah Pasuk, Mechatchila, you're not supposed to daven Shachris, Shmoneh Esrei Shachris before Hanetzach Hamo. So he's on the airplane, he already saw the sunrise, so it's considered Hanetzach Hamo. Even though the ground level below him, it's not yet Hanetzach Hamo. So the Pashtus is not so. The Pashtus is, like the Maril said, that Me'ikar Adin, wherever, whatever elevation you happen to be on, higher or lower than sea level, we ignore where you happen to be. We say that everything is Nikva by sea level. So the Pashtus is, wherever you are in the airplane, we ignore what you think Zvich and Shkia is. You have to determine the Zvich and the Shkia by what it is on the ground level below. Let's say you're flying over Paris, you have to have this money. When is the Zvich and when is the Shkia in Paris? You're flying over Tel Aviv, you have to know when is the Zvich and the Shkia in Tel Aviv.
The sea level
of Tel Aviv, right. So the Pashtus is that the same is true regarding what day of the week it is. Whatever day of the week it is on the ground is the same day of the week above. But the only shine is over here. Let's say you're flying above the eastern part of Australia. You're flying above the eastern part, you're flying above Vladivostok. And that's really on the lower hemisphere. That should be the last place in the world to get any Zman, because that's all the way to the end of the right near the date line. But the only reason why we say that it's nigger after the shtickel that's to the west of the daytime, because it's one yabeshet, and the Chazanish says we got to follow the Sefer Yisoid Olam, who says that one yabeshet has to have one time. But that's only if you're on the ground. But if you're in the area above that, then Mukhari should say that since you are to the east of the date line, so you should have the earlier date. You shouldn't say that you're nigger after the zrich and the shkia is taken nikva. By the sea level below, on the ground level below the sea level. But what day of the week it is, Lachar, the only reason why you nigra after the level below is if you're on the ground level, so the Svar of the Yisayid Olam, which we're not so fully convincing, that you can't have one Yabesh and have different Zman. But Lachar, if you're above, Lachar, that shouldn't apply. Lachar. So let's say Allah Alamayis, a person is traveling in a plane, and he's going from California. Let's say he davens Mincha on Sunday afternoon in California, and he goes by plane and he's traveling west. Now he's going to reach a point that he's going to pass the international date line. Either the international date line cuts through Alaska, according to those Rabbanim that the Chazanish was furious about, or the international date line cuts through Korea, according to the Chazanishis. Chazanish is international date line cut through Korea.
China.
Yeah. I think China's a... What is China? Above Korea? Let's say the person is traveling... A person is traveling, let's say, on Sunday afternoon. He already davened Mincha. And he's going to go, and it's still going to be light time. He liked tefillin on Sunday morning, and he davened Mincha already Sunday afternoon, and he's going west. So according to Rav Tkachinsky and his group of Chachamim, when he passes the line that cuts through Alaska, which is not that far off from California, it just became Monday afternoon. So he has to daven mincha again. For Monday afternoon, he has to light tefillin fast before it's going to get shki. He's going to miss tefillin for Monday. Myra for Sunday night, he never was in Schach. He never experienced the Sunday night. Shabbos for Monday morning, he's never in Schach. He never experienced the Monday morning. He doesn't have to make tashlum now. He doesn't have to daven mincha now and then say a second Shmoneh Esrei for Shabbos. He was never in Schach in Shabbos. It was lo boli yodim as far as he's concerned. Never had any chiyuv to daven Shabbos. He doesn't have to make tashlum. Now it's this man to daven mincha, and he has to like tefillin fast, otherwise he's going to miss. So lechayre he should, according to Rav Kuczynski, he should vadai, he should. So to put on the tefillin is not a problem. To put on tefillin many times in a day, and it's not, that's not a bracha levatol. So put on tefillin again and say the bracha on the tefillin. Shabbos with the mincha. So according to Rav Kuczynski, yimuchuyev, and his group of chacham yimuchuyev to daven mincha then. According to the Chazon Ish, not mechuyev, but chotcha asah shtikla asah pik it is. Maybe the others are right. So you can daven it. Tefillin nedarim. But maybe today is still Sunday afternoon and I already daven mincha and this is a tefillas and daven. Maybe it's Monday afternoon and I'm chayiv to daven mincha. When he goes weiter, what should he do?
You wait till after Chag.
Where you're traveling.
You travel and then we got a Shemoneh Esrei. So the point of Chazon Ish is Marer time. It's Marer.
The bracha is lechari. He shouldn't say. Let's say when he davens myriv, when he's going to daven myriv, then lechari for sure he shouldn't say the bracha. That's a hasafik bracha. Hasafik bracha. Lechari shouldn't say.
Why is it so possible? The point is that tefillos and every period from the sunrise to the sunset, it's about Monday.
No. So that's a new period. You fly, all of a sudden, from Sunday to Monday, still, the only should swallow in Dhamma for 1 minute. Who says the tefillahs
follow the day of the week? They follow the sunrise and sunset cycle. If I would land on the ground below, the people, the Jews who live there, were Amokhayif to Dhamma Minchan. I already got Minchan today. It wasn't yesterday. I didn't go through a time warp. I just, the calendar changed from Sunday to Monday, but I got 1 minute between sunrise and sunset.
I don't think it's correct. It's a taina. I don't have any proof, but I think the pashtus is like this. That the chachamim were misakan, you mechiv to daven, Shabbos min hamar, the different zman of every day. So if I flew into a different zman of a different day.
It's not like Shabbos, there's a certain day of the week and a certain calendar. Mm-hmm. So you have a calendar, you have it. It's just a din that every time, sunrise to sunset, every time sunrise, you mechiv to daven, every time sunset, you mechiv to daven, whatever. So the fact that it changed from Monday to Tuesday should never change
it. Tefillin, the pashtus says that every day of the week. The pashtus says that every day of the week, there's a chiv to put on tefillin.
Every day of the week or every day?
Once a day, every day.
Right, for me it's the same day.
It's not the same day. It's not the same day. It's a different day. The only thing is that I never experienced, I missed the end of the previous day and the beginning of this day. No, if they didn't, it's a different day. Don't say that for me it's the same day. Pashtus is the same thing, let's say a woman is counting Shiva and Akiyah. So you don't say she counts Shiva and Akiyah based on what her personal things are. Shiva and Akiyah go on the calendaric days. If the first day of Shemini Kim was Sunday, then the last day of Shemini Kim is going to be Shabbos, wherever she happens to be in the world, whether it's going to be more than 7 days or less than 7 days. The Pashto says that it doesn't matter. For Pidyon HaBen, the Pashto can discuss this by Rikas, the contemporary Pashto, because every single Shabbat comes up, and your Balabat is going to be asking you these Shabbos. Every single Shabbat comes up. The Shabbat of Pidyon HaBen is a little different. The Pidyon HaBen in Yeriday, there's an Achlokas, when you do the Pidyon HaBen on the Yom Lamed Aleph, no matter how old the baby is, well, no, but it doesn't really depend on Yom Lamed Aleph on the calendar. The baby has to reach the point of Chav Tes Yom Yud Bei Shor Tash Tzad Chalor. So the Shach says, a lot of Achrayim say that that's why the meaning is to be Machmet, to wait to do the Pidyon HaBen on the Yom Lamed Aleph. Why don't we do it on the Lil Lamed Aleph, on the beginning on the Lil Lamed Aleph? Because very often, if the baby is born towards the end of the day, baby is born a minute before the Shkia, and then you're going to have the Pidyon HaBen on the night of the Yom Lamed Aleph, so you won't have a full Chav Tes Yom Yud Bei Shor Tash Tzad Chalor. So the meaning is you wait till the morning. The Yom Lamed Aleph, so most of the time the problem will be solved. Sometimes it won't be solved. But if it's a summer day, the kid is born late in the summer day, and the Shki is at base 8:30 at night, and then you're going to have the Pidyon HaBen the morning of the next day, so maybe that the morning is early, so maybe that it's not after Chav Tes Yom Yud Bei Shor. Maybe that it's still not Yud Bei Shor.
Right.
Right.
Without problem. When there was a reason without problem.
Some say like that. Some say like that.
Yeah.
So bite. Sphere Simon is the same issue. Here, on the next page, on 19, there's an essay about the Sphere Simon. This is by Tzipes of Frank Sage. The Pashtus is Sphere Simon is the exact same thing. It's not so complicated. The only thing that's an issue that may depend on this person personally is the Pinyan HaBen. It may depend on the baby himself, that he needs to have lived already Chodesh 29 days of 24 hours each. 29 days of 24 hours. And Yud Bei Shavuos and Tashta come up. And Mikra Adin, we don't even fast like that. Mikra Adin, we fast in that the Pinyan HaBen is on the Yom Lama Alam. That's the Imre Yoshe fast. It's a Merak. It says Mikra Adin, Choshesh, Lechumer, these kind of things.
Something they should be telling the child as well.
Should be telling the baby, right. Okay. That should be telling the baby, not on the calendar day. But I'll be partial. Everything else depends. For Sphira Simon, for Shivinikiyim, and for Tefillin, and for Davening, everything else, I'll be partial, should depend on what day on the calendar it is. What day? So let's say for Sphere some purposes, a person counted, he travels on Sunday afternoon from California in the middle of Sphere, he counted Sphere. Let's say count the coin to Tikhachinsky, he should count as soon as he passes over that that meridian that crosses through all this. The shaila will be what happens if he's going to miss the whole, is it possible? Right now I can't figure it out, but it's a simple question. You just have to sit down with the Zmanim and figure it out. Is it possible that he should miss the whole Zman of counting according to the Chazon Ish? To figure it out. But it's not shaykh, he should miss the whole day.
If he missed the whole night.
So he'll count the next day without a brother. He'll count by Yom the next day without a brother. And the rest of the days he'll count with a brother. But it's not shaykh, he should miss a whole 24 hours. That's physically impossible.
If he flies at night time, and then he lands the next night, then he gets the whole 24 hour day period. And start flying.
They counted that night.
No, but then it's already the next day.
It's not shaykh. It's not shaykh, he should miss... Okay. If he didn't count, he didn't fashaya. But if the guy's paying, if it's a religious Jew and he's paying attention, his rabbi has to tell him that he should pay attention, so then he's not going to miss.
According to Kuchinsky, Jews in Alaska have to keep Shabbos on what they think is really bright, but everyone else is following Friday.
That's right. That's what he says. Ligra after the rest of America?
Yeah, just like
we're
just saying,
if you would say like Rav to Kaczynski, and you would, if you'd say like to Kaczynski, it's 180 degrees, and you say like to Chazon Ish that everything to the east is Ligra after the west, then all of the United States. So obviously we don't hold like that. These two you can't hold together.
No, but
otherwise we're all in trouble.
Would you know that you draw, that you would draw the state line around Alaska? Or would part of Alaska be in one day and the rest of Alaska be in the other day?
No, Alaska is a country, it's not a continent.
I know.
It's
but
not
I'm
a land
no,
so Alaska is the same land as with New
yeah,
York.
Yeah, right. So, and that's what I'm saying. So wouldn't he have that same, does up to Kaczynski hold like...
Do you say Yilo? I don't think so. Fairish not. Yeah, he knows that the Jews in America don't keep Shabbos the same day as the rest of the
world. Would you just say wherever it falls, that's where it falls?
I think that's what he holds.
Would you follow the rope? He doesn't say you follow the rope of America.
I don't think so. I think he holds that wherever it falls, he doesn't care about the one-year version. He ignores everything that the Yisraelim says. He says everything against the Yisraelim. That's right. As the contemporary post can write, there aren't too many Jews who live in Alaska. New Zealand is the Machloikas. New Zealand is in between the dateline of the Chazon Ish and the dateline. That's part of the quarter of the 25% of the world that's Multum Machloikas. So that's the big Machloikas. They don't follow the Chazon Ish. They follow Tikhachinsky.
Yeah, are they following Tikhachinsky or are they following the international
day? Either one or the other. Either they're following the Goyim or they're following Tikhachinsky. But they don't follow the Chazon Ish, that's a fact. The Lubavitcher, who do activities in New Zealand, always leave for Shabbos because they don't want to get involved in the Machlokes. here on page 20. Tokyo is where? Tokyo is on Japan? So Tokyo is the Mahapisos? Tokyo is part of Japan? There is a shaila here on page 20, which comes up every so often. If a person leaves Eretz Yisrael, or leaves America, let's say my brother-in-law left America to go to Japan for the Hashgacha and the tuna fish, he left America on Asar B'Teves. In the middle of the day. And it kept on going, and the day kept on going. So what's the din? Does he have to fast all day long till it's shkia, according to the sea level below? Till it says a kahav mana. So on page 20, he quotes on the bottom of the page, everybody quotes this source in the Sefer HaEshkol that was put out. There are two editions of the Eshkol. So an Auerbach's edition of the Eshkol, that's supposed to be the faulty edition, the one that's not the the good edition. So he's not noted for his text on top, he's noted for his comments on the bottom. Everybody uses that because of the Nachal Eshkol. Yer Sameach and many other Gedolim quote what the Nachal Eshkol has to say on the bottom of the page. You ignore what he wrote on top. They hold that the text of the Eshkol is faulty, that Albeck's edition is better. Fine. But in the Nachal Eshkol, he talks about this. That the rabbi in Stockholm, this is on the bottom of, there's no page number here. But on the first column, on the first page here, according to this cheshbon, he wouldn't have to, in New York they're reading already after Tzeisach Kohom, which is way before 9:30. His cheshbon is they wouldn't have to fast past 9:30 at night. On the New York Times. Because it's only a minute. The only thing he has a suffix about is what about Tisha B'Av? Because the Gemara says that this Ratzim Sanim, Ratzim Sanim only applies to the other Tanaisim. But on Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says that Yimachuyev to pass. Labar Ratzim Talim, so that's the bottom paragraph on the first page. So he has a Shaila, what if it would be Tisha B'Av? Do you say that he really has to wait Mikaradin until the Tanis is off? But I heard that's the Pasht. Tisha B'Av is Medina. It's not Medina Medir Kabbalah, but it's Medina Medir Rabbah. So the Chayyim should have to fast till the end of the day, till the Shkia. You have to calculate when the person, let's say when people travel to Japan, this Kamashat is not so complicated. You have to calculate going there and coming back. You have to listen, the person has to tell exactly what time his flight is leaving. And you have to figure out exactly what time is going to pass over which date line and tell him Lechumra in each direction to when to Dav Mincha, when to Lake Tfilin, and when to Dav Meirev, and so on and so forth. So a simple calculation, not so complicated. Yeah.
Do you have flights to Japan on a